Dear listener, we hope that you've been enjoying the variety of podcasts that we have on our network. Now is your opportunity to help us by telling us a little more about you. Please visit jcastnetwork.org/survey and complete our listener survey so that we can learn more about you and your listening habits. Again, please visit jcastnetwork.org/survey. Thanks so much.
When the rabbi's calling, be back again. Falling, the circle's falling. When the rabbi's calling, be back again. Falling, these walls keep falling, but I'll keep standing.
Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman. This is the Sukkah edition, Era of Sukkah. Sukkah starts tonight in the Jewish era at about 6:30 p.m. I hope your Sukkah is in the process of not having been put up, but in the process of being put up. In this half hour of the show, we'll be schmoozing about Sukkot with the co-producer of the Jewish Hour, also the co-director of Jewish Ferndale, the Jewish Hour's own Hannah Finman, my wife. Thank you. The portion of the week isn't, because it's Sukkot, and Sukkot preempts it, and next Saturday we'll be reading about the holiday of Sukkot. There won't be another portion of the week until we start Genesis 1:1 over again. Whoa! That'll be awesome. That's in 2 weeks. We have a wonderful assortment of music. Some of it's Sukkah, some of it's Sukkah-esque. A dynamite story about the holiday of Sukkot at the end. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. Two people were killed and six injured by a terrorist attack at a train station in Jerusalem. Police tracked down the gunman and killed him. UNESCO, that's the United Nations Education, Science, and Culture Organization, passed a declaration that the Western Wall has no historical significance to Judaism. I don't know you could vote on history. In response, Israel's education minister, Naftali Bennett, keep an eye on this person, he's going to be prime minister one day, who is also the president of Israel's National Commission for UNESCO, suspended all ties with UNESCO. Fine, we don't need them. And here are the times, they are in changing. Indeed, singer-songwriter Bob Dylan won this year's Nobel Prize for Literature, making Dylan one of, whose real name is Zimmerman, one of three Jews out of 9 Nobel Prize recipients this year. Oliver Hart, a Jewish-American professor of economics at Harvard, shared the Nobel Prize in Economics for his work on contract theory. Rabbi Mordechai Deutsch, a Chabad rabbi in Ukraine, was found left for dead in the Ukrainian city of Zhytomyr. The rabbi, who had been beaten unconscious and robbed, was airlifted to an Israeli hospital where he remains in serious but stable condition. And finally, this is actually my, I just like went, whoa, yes, thumbs up. Hundreds of people in Berlin participated in a ceremony welcoming a new Torah scroll to the old Bet Zion Synagogue, one of only a few synagogues that survived Kristallnacht. During the Holocaust, the Rehm family of Berlin commissioned a scribe who had fled Poland to Zurich to write a Torah scroll. Later, due to the Holocaust, the writing was stopped. Completion of that Torah scroll was funded by a family who requested that the scroll be given to the Berlin Synagogue. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in a growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000. 858-9000 or visit them on the web at spexhoward.edu. Spex Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Why go anywhere else when you could go to One Stop Kosher? Located on Greenfield Road, just south of 696, you're never far from One Stop Kosher. At One Stop Kosher, you'll find the largest selection of kosher wines in Michigan. One Stop Kosher has the freshest produce, the best dairy, deli, and meats. They're gourmet. They even have a kosher bakery right on the premise. It's One Stop Kosher on Greenfield Road in 696 for all your shopping needs.
Herschel Finman, here you are listening to the Jewish Hour. We have on the line Mrs. Chana Finman, my dear wife, co-producer of the Jewish Hour and co-director of Jewish Ferndale. How are you today, Chana?
Baruch Hashem, thank God. Good.
Good. Good is a good word. Anyway, so we got Sukkos coming up tonight. So we're going to schmooze about Sukkos. So what's your take on the holiday, Chana Finman?
Well, that's a big question. My take on the holiday. I wish we could do takeout in the holiday.
Massive quantities of food, yes.
You know, sometimes it always cracks me up how rigorous Jewish holidays are or can be. I mean, you know, there's a lot of good caterers out there and wonderful bakeries, and people, thank God, make great use of them. But if you're doing it from scratch at home, my style, it takes a lot of planning, right? And a lot of stamina. You know, it's because we've had it this year that we had a lot of Yom Tov Shabbos, you know, Yom Tov Chol HaMoed, you know, it's just like, yeah, feeding lots of wonderful people in our home. I look forward to it, actually. I enjoy it a lot because I love the people.
So you say the effort is worth the reward then?
Yeah, and there's a Hasidic anachronism, is that the right word?
Saying?
Phrase.
Yeah, aphorism.
Yeah, one of these nice kind of quotable quotes that keep in your head, and you can help me with them. Say, I think it's originally said in Yiddish by one of the Chabad Rebbe's that, you know, that God, creator of the, makes everything spiritual, and then is a spiritual being, and then makes a world that's physical. That's what God does. And then what does a Jew do? He takes the physical and he makes it spiritual, right?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
So that's the thought that I have kicking around in my head. It kind of motivates me through the high holidays season because, for me, it's not as much as standing in shul as it is standing by the kitchen sink. And it's just the reality of it. And the truth is, it used to be back in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s, you know, I used to give a lot of have speaking engagements. I remember the title was called Sanctity, Serenity in the Kitchen Sink. That was a theme. And it was trying to bring out this idea, but it wasn't so cool to be in the kitchen, right? Back then, it was cooler for a woman to say she was a CEO. But things have changed. Now everybody wants to be in the kitchen. Now all you see in YouTubes and television and so on and so forth are cooking shows. And it makes me laugh. The women really work very hard to try to get out of the kitchen. But now everybody says it's the coziest place. I was at a conference called A Woman's Day of Learning here in Detroit at Shari Tzedek that was put together by the Khan Hadal chair at Wayne State. And they had all these women speaking on a variety of subjects. But at one point, we went around the room, like around Robin, and the facilitator said, tell us, where do you spend most of your time and what do you like to do the most? And, you know, this is a very mixed crowd. I think I was the only, quote-unquote, like, Orthodox-type person there, you know? So this was a wide range of very intelligent women. And every single one said this, the kitchen was the place they had control. And I thought that was amazing. I thought I was going to brag and say, hey, you know, I like hanging out in my art studio because I do. But I was overwhelmed with the answer, where do you have the most control, the most authority? And these women said, my kitchen. So I thought, golly, after all this, we come to that.
Yeah, indeed. Let's talk a little history over here. You were not raised religious. Your family, you didn't grow up with a sukkah. Tell us about your first experience in a sukkah, Hannah Finman.
You know, it's wonderful you brought that up, because there's nothing that makes me happier than a walk down memory lane. Brings me back to Mount Airy, Philadelphia, at the Rebecca Gratz Sunday School, which was a terrific place. My dad would drive us there on Sundays, and the girls who taught us were from Gratz College. They were wonderful. So once they took us to a sukkah. It was my first sukkah experience. I'm probably about 8 or 9 years old. And we walked through this part of Philadelphia, which is still quite nice, actually, Mount Airy. And it was very Jewish then. There were shuls, like, on every corner. And we went to a home. It was probably a rabbi's home, but we didn't know that. And I went to a sukkah, and they gave us grape juice and rye bread. And I thought it was the cutest thing. My family used to spend a lot of summers camping in Canada and in the national parks of the United States. So for me, it was just like, wow, the great outdoors. This is terrific. But the ideas that came with it were so foreign to me. When they talked about the Ane HaKavod, the clouds that the schach, the greens, represent on the top of the sukkah, they must have talked about it. But it was all so foreign to me. All I remembered was really the rye bread and the grape juice. It was about the food and all the great symbols of our reliance on God that we remember this after being brought into the high holiday season. And then we have Sukkot or Sukkot, which is our reflection on all of where we came from in the high holidays, plus some. All of that was beyond me. All I knew is I was eating rye bread and having grape juice, and it was pleasant. So mm-hmm. That's my earliest memory.
We grew up in a three-family house, and my grandparents lived downstairs, and my grandparents were Orthodox. And my grandfather, who was a contractor and a carpenter, it was just amazing, because he always had this like scrap lumber leaning against the garage, and would come sukkahs after Yom Kippur. He would get out the thing. I would help him when I was like 4 or 5 years old. Here, she'll put the gloves on. You hold the board. You know, like my mother later told me, you think my father needed you to hold the board? Anyway, but I was very important because I got to hold the board for Zeta. And
yeah.
he would put together this jigsaw puzzle of scrap wood.
Love it.
I don't remember sitting. I do remember sitting on it a little bit. I remember that he used deciduous tree branches because that was what was plentiful. And by usually like the fourth or fifth day, all the leaves had like fallen off of them. So, and I also remember.
You mean for the top.
Yes.
They would float down and land in a bowl of soup.
Yes. The pleasant early childhood memories I have is my grandmother taking me to shul, to the synagogue.
Yeah.
And that was, they had a big synagogue and all the people would go in after the services. And the rabbi's wife made the salt and pepper schmaltz kugel, which was like beyond, way over the top. It was the only Lakshin kugel I ever liked.
Lakshin is the noodle kugel, noodle pudding.
Yes. Noodle pudding, yes, as they call it.
Noodle pudding just doesn't sound very Jewish, but that's basically what it is. I just have to say, though, that it's amazing how memory, and we weren't planning on talking about this, but memory is so bound up in food. And the smell. You know, there's a story that a dear friend told me, that the importance of making challah. Now, I never thought it was so important to make challah. I was a very busy mom, and we used to go to the bakery a lot. And then this time of the year, I would try to bake challah, right?
You did this year. It was awesome.
Yeah, but there's nothing wrong with going to a bakery. You still have the mitzvah of having two challahs and the memory of the manna, the mun that fell for the Jews when they were in the desert. We put two challahs on the table. It's called lechem mishnah, two breads, right? So we're always remembering things. Everything is a testimony to where Jews were originated. We're always going back to our origins. But it's amazing that when people go back to their origins, their Jewish origins, it's the food. Anyway, so let me just tell you. So my friend told me that she went to great trouble to make her own challah every Friday morning. Why? She said her kids would come home from school. They went to Jewish school, so they come home around 12:30 or so. and she wanted them to have the smell. Like, that was a gift for her children to take into the future, to give over to their children, and then so on and so forth into the future, that the smell of baking challah is so, what's the word, indelible? Is that a word?
Indelible? Yes. Permanent.
You know what I'm saying? It's stuck there in your head.
Yes. Olfactory memory, yes.
Yeah. But she wanted the kids to be associating challah smell in the oven coming home to mommy. And how beautiful is that? You know, I mean, you can't buy that. I mean, you can buy it in a bakery, but you put the bakery bread in the challah, you get a little smell. But there's nothing like making it yourself. It's a big job.
Mm-hmm.
So nowadays you have gatherings where people get together and they make challah together. I think that's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm. What do you look forward to for Sukkot?
What do I look forward to?
Yeah, Sukkot's good. Like, if you ask a rabbi, what's the most important holiday, they will say, whatever holiday is coming up next. Like, we just got done with Yom Kippur. So before Yom Kippur, the most important holiday is Yom Kippur. But now that Yom Kippur has passed, so the most important holiday is Sukkot. So yeah. What do you look forward to, Hannah Finman?
Wow. Well, I'm looking at the calendar, right? So what do I look forward to? This year, when is the first night of Sukkot?
First night of Sukkot is tonight.
Sunday night. Sunday night, light candles around 6:30.
Right.
I'm looking at a calendar, actually, but yeah, there it is. Yeah, 6:30 we light, and then we light again tomorrow on Monday, light candles after 7:28 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And then we bring in, the Yom Tov ends at 7:27 on the 18th, which is Tuesday.
Right.
And now we go to the intermediate days, the 19th, the 20th, and the 20th. First, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we get to Shabbos again on the 21st. So it's an intense calendar. The fourth intermediate day of Sukkot is on Shabbos. So then on Sunday, the 23rd, guess what? It's Hoshana Rabbah. It's Yom Tov again. Light candles at 6:19. And then we dance with the Torah on the 24th, which is Shemini Atzeres. And just to remind people out there, it's also Yisker.
That would be a week light from candles. Tomorrow.
Yeah, that's next Monday. We light candles at 7:18 p.m. And then it's all wound up by the 25th of Simchas Torah, and Yom Tov ends at 7:17 p.m. So that's a lot of information. You really need to have a Jewish calendar to follow along. So what's my favorite part of the whole thing? Well, it's sort of, there's a lot of parts. And I love sitting in the sukkah with friends. You come into a place, which I didn't experience as a kid, but a little bit of that memory of my Philadelphia childhood in Mount Airy in that lovely sukkah that our Sunday school class went to. I had a little taste of it then, of this feeling of total relaxation and coziness and feeling an achievement of just being there. You know, there's a lot of talk nowadays about the concept of living in the now. A lot of words for it, being mindful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a whole study in psychology, and it's influenced educators. It's a beautiful conceptual idea of living in the present now. And when you're in the sukkah and you look at the schach, which is full of meaning, and you smell it, it smells good because it's usually evergreens here in the United States, and you're with friends, and you have all your needs taken care of. You've already prepared all this food. Now you just have to enjoy it. And you're with friends and family, and I don't think there's anything sweeter than that in life. It's when the mitzvahs become for us a treasure house of loving it. And even though it might have been a little bit stressful organizing everything.
Right.
Yeah, by now you've been in the sukkah a whole week, and by the end of the holiday, and you are totally in another state of mind. And it's true, I love that. I'm glad you brought it up, because you cannot purchase that state of mind. And I traveled extensively. I've been on gorgeous beaches all over the world. And I'll tell you something. being in a sukkah, right, on sukkahs, and understanding that it's a commandment that you're surrounded by, like you always say, Herschel, it's like a big hug.
Mm-hmm.
It's a feeling that is so heartwarming and wonderful and a gift. So that's what I love the most. It's just being there in the sukkah.
Cool. Absolutely awesome. Okay, yeah. We introduced you also as the co-director of Jewish Ferndale. So tell us what's going on in Ferndale, Hannah Finman.
Well, the dust has not settled. We're still on massive renovations, as you know. However, we have put up what is being billed as the largest sukkah ever in Ferndale. It's pretty big. How big is it?
12 by 24.
Yeah. So we hope we'll have a lot of people popping in who may be residents of Ferndale and didn't have time to organize a sukkah. By all means, we want people just to come in. You can bring a picnic basket and have your own lunch there. But we are making a party, which the public is invited to.
Tell us about it, Hannah.
Let's see. What's that on the second intermediate day of sukkah, which is not a yom tov, which means we can drive, we can do all the things we need to do to make a party, and that'll be at...
That's on Thursday, October the 20th.
Yeah, I'm looking at the calendar. It's actually the Hebrew date. It's very nice. It's called Yud Ches Tishrei Chai, the 18th. That's like a good time to do something like this.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're going to be having a barbecue, and we're going to be having beautiful music.
Yes, music for the first hour by the Waterstone Jazz Trio.
They're great. So keyboard and sax, and from 7 to 8 o'clock, right? They'll
mm-hmm.
be playing,
mm-hmm.
something like that. And then after that, we're kind of having an open mic kind of situation. So some friends are going to bring guitars, and that's what sukkahs ought to be. It ought to be casual and yet respectful, because this is not the opposite kind of party where it's, I don't know, people can get kind of silly, kind of out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
Lucas is very dignified, but not uncomfortable.
Oh, we're going to have dignified fun. Dignified, right. Comfortable fun.
Exactly, because you're inside a mitzvah. So you want to bring your best self there. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So we hope that kids will come, parents and grandpas and grandmas and bubbies, 80s, the whole thing. We hope we can cram. And we have plenty of room inside and outside the sukkah. We hope to have massive quantities of delicious food. And come and enjoy.
Yeah, and there is a charge for it. It's $12 before Thursday and $15 on Thursday. And people can pay for that on www.jewishferndale.com. We should go look at it, and I'm actually impressed with what our webmaster did in putting together Jewish Ferndale. It's a very impressive site.
Very impressive.
People have told me that. They say, wow, who did your website? And, you know, so.
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice. Now, the point of Jewish Ferndale is to make Jewish life accessible to Jews in this region here. And so please do come, and I always like to tell people to try to bring a friend who's never had this experience before. People, you know, there's so many of us Jews who just didn't have this opportunity yet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not surprising to me when someone comes into a sukkah and tells me, I've never been in a sukkah before. I say, yeah, there's a lot of us Jews who just didn't happen yet. So we would love to extend our invitation to people who, of course, it's, you know, something they observe and they enjoy having the sukkah all the time in their lives, every time it, you know, comes around this time of year. But I hope that they'll remember to try to bring a friend or a relative who, for whatever the reason, didn't have this experience. And it always makes me sad. You hear it in my voice.
Mm-hmm.
That there's still a child or Jewish person who just, for various reasons, they didn't get to have this experience, and I want them to have it. So bring a friend and come on down. Have a hot dog. a hamburger, a bowl of soup, and listen to some nice music, and hopefully I make a new friend. Because that's also what Silkus is about. It's about this idea of unity and togetherness. Then we go off into the new year, and we feel a sense of strength from being with like-minded people, like-minded in the sense of being proud to be Jewish and being involved with Jewish life. It makes us feel good that we belong. I think everybody is entitled to have that in life, right? That's what diversity is about, that you find a place which is your comfort zone. These are your people. This is your tribe. We're connected to each other. That's an excellent feeling to start a new year, a Jewish new year.
That's awesome. Okay, that's going to wrap it up for us. Now, again, the Grand Sukkah Barbecue in Ferndale is Thursday night, October the 20th, from 6:30 to 11. We'll be featuring barbecue. We also do have vegan fare. This is Ferndale, you know, we have to be inclusive. We welcome everybody. It's $12 at www.jewishferndale.com, $15 day of. The Waterstone Jazz Trio will be entertaining us for the first hour open mic. Second, it is family friendly, so bring the kids along. We have lots and lots of stuff for things to do. And Hannah Finman, the Jewish Hour and Jewish Ferndale would like to officially wish you a good Yontif and a successful year. And thank you for coming on. We look forward to calling you back again.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Take care. We're going to take a quick commercial break and be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Some things are better the way they used to be, like the crisp feel of a cool autumn day, the serenity of a baby sleeping, or the feeling of coming home after a long trip. Franklin Cider Mills makes cider the way cider is supposed to be. Its old-fashioned, clear, crisp taste reminds you of a cool autumn day. Located in the heart of historic Franklin Village at 14 Mile and Franklin Road, Franklin Cider Mill has been making cider the same way for over a century. Always fresh, with no additives or preservatives. You just can't buy Franklin Cider in any supermarket. Franklin Cider Mill is open from Labor Day weekend to after Thanksgiving from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Come visit Franklin Cider Mill. It's kind of like coming home.
Hey, Schultzman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. Now, we're in the height of Franklin cider season. Get over there, 14 and Franklin Road, and tell them you heard about it on The Jewish Hour. You'll be glad you did, as the Finman kids say. Everything else is just juice. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. We have up for your listening pleasure. Sukkos is all about miracles. One of the miracles is that we build these structures that are really miraculous, so they don't fall down. It really is. It's supposed to be a temporary building. And the dichotomy is it's a temporary building that for a week we make our permanent home. Everything you can do in your house, you're really supposed to do in your sukkah. It has an R factor about minus a half. There's like the walls, which are not insulated generally, and there's the roof. Even if you could make your sukkah inside your house, but the roof has to be open to the sky with foliage of some sort. Anything that grows from the ground, except for anything if it's edible, can be used. So we like to use, for example, in the Finman house, we use bamboo mats, and we cover the bamboo mats with a layer of evergreen from northern Michigan, which we bring down. So it is really pretty much, there's even an old Yiddish song that talks about the winds blowing, and it's amazing that the sukkah is still standing. And so, yeah, so it's all about miracles. So here's Shweki singing, "We Are the Miracle."
We are a miracle. The devil was a man, but the few who carried on leave the millions who are gone. It's been so many years crying, so many tears. Don't you know, don't you really know? We are pushing.
Every day we fight a battle. On the news we are the stars. As history repeats itself and makes us who we are. Hate is all around us, but we'll be here to sing.
Assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Here, Shulton, and here you are listening to the Jewish Hour. Next up is the Klezmer selection for the week. We always try to do that because when it turns out, whenever I don't play a Klezmer song, I get inundated. I must be like a cabal of Klezmer aficionados listening to the show that every week. But anyway, this one is a group which I've never heard of. I just came across it. It's called, the group is called the Pixel Punks. And they build themselves as a punk klezmer fusion band. Now, I was specifically looking for sukkahs music, and this piece is actually called sukkahs. They call it sukkahs. What it really is, I recognized it as the overture that was written for the 1915 Yiddish classic movie called The Golem. I don't remember who wrote it, but if you do, you can get to me at rabbifinman.com and let me know. And I would say this is not really punk music fusion, because if it was really funk, I probably wouldn't play it. One of my least favorite genre of music is punk. I would call it more electronica per se, but it definitely has the klezmer overtones, and the progressions are, and it's actually quite nice to listen to. That's why we chose it. So here are Pixel Punks. The song is called Sukkahs, and it's just for you. We'll be right back.
or someone you know have an addiction to opiates? Ready to take your life back but don't have the time for a long inpatient program? MDS Drug Detox is a team of physicians with extensive experience in the field of rapid drug detox under anesthesia. MDS is the nation's only rapid opiate detox under anesthesia facility with the same doctors, RNs, and certified paramedics attending the entire drug detox process. MDS Drug Detox is safe and effective. Their goal is to provide the best, the safest, and the most economical way to free you from your addiction. MDS uses the highest standards of care and the best FDA-approved medications. MDS Drug Detox understands what your concerns are. Make the call today, 888-637-6968, or go online to www.mdsdrugdetox.com. That's 888-637-6968, MDS Drug Detox. Hey, Shul Finman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. Up next, one time for one more. This is a song, the recording duo, West Rogers Park, featuring Morty Kurz, who is now a Detroiter. They're both from West Rogers Park, Chicago. The genre is somewhat like they want to imitate Simon and Garfunkel, and they do. Their vocals and harmonies are pretty good. They have a tendency to parody, but sometimes not. This one, I don't think it's a parody. It's called Magid. The words of the song are talking about, we're going to visit our Rebbe, our leader, our religious leader, which is something people would want to do on, that's want, W-A-N-T, and W-O-N-T, both simultaneously, especially for something like the Sukkot holiday. So, in preparation, let's listen to the Magid.
Jumped in Zouds and Wagoneer, where can you take me far from here?
He said, two towns in front of us, there's a visitor who many trust.
Man of wisdom, keen advice, the Magid, oh, don't cross him twice.
Just listen, he'll brighten up your day.
Travel where it's good, travel where you should, travel.
Mr. Wagon Driver, share a thought, oh, wisdom rider.
Something from this Magid, something that I never did.
Well, towns and trains I've come to cross, just know they're all not worth the cost.
When placed next to our Torah true, the mitzvahs that we love and do.
Acts of goodness and acts of love,
fear no one but the one above. And oh, just know that you're never alone. Let it, yes, let it all swing by.
It's good, travel where you should, travel where you can be found.
Travel where it's good, travel where you should, please take me to my Rebbe's town.
Hey! Driver, driver, share with me, how did your wisdom come to be? How are you to know all these secrets of old? Well, he smiled and he said it simply, oh, teach a man to
travel where it's good, travel where you should, travel where you can be found. Travel where it's good, travel where you should, please take me to my Rebbe. Travel where it's good, travel where you should, travel. Travel where it's good, travel where you
I go to a hospital to get healthy. At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800. Harry Schulfenman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. Tonight, as we've been talking about, it starts the holiday of Sukkot. Candlelighting time tonight is at 6:30. Candlelighting time tomorrow night is at 7:29. And tomorrow night it should be taken from an existing flame. We can talk about that some other time. We just came through. I've been talking about it for 6 weeks. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, the seriousness, the high holidays, Yomim Nerayim, the days of awe. And here suddenly, right after Yom Kippur, actually right at the end of Yom Kippur, there's this massive paradigm shift so that now the holiday coming up is called Zman Simchasenu, the time of our rejoicing. So how is it we can flip the switch? My wife, Hannah Finman, producer of The Jewish Hour and co-director of Jewish Ferndale, and the source of every good idea I ever had, said it earlier in the show that we're having fun. But it's serious, mindful fun. Meaning, it's the same deal. We're approaching Zman Simchasenu, the time of our rejoicing, in a state not of frivolity, not of frivolousness, for sure not, I could even say God forbid on that, but as an expression of our reverence for the Almighty. The holiday commemorates 40 years of the Jews being taken care of by the Almighty, supplying us the manna, the clouds of glory, which is what this tree-branched roof is supposed to represent, with the air blowing in and the mosquitoes and bees coming into our sukkah because it's an open sukkah. That which the Almighty took care of us is indeed something to celebrate. But we're going to approach it in the same manner that we approach Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, everybody like really wants to get into Yom Kippur. Thank God. This Yom Kippur for me, 25 and a half, 26 hours that I didn't eat or drink anything, was the fastest Yom Kippur I've ever had. I have no idea what, because I don't know what the slow Yom Kippurs were attributed to and why they didn't go as well as this Yom Kippur. So I felt a certain energy from the Yom Kippur, from participating in the synagogue. In our synagogue, throughout the services, there are songs which are sung communally, which are really very uplifting. There's no dirges in our Yom Kippurs, even though it's a day we're trying to repent and get God to atone for us, but we're all upbeat. Okay, so what we've done is we've gone from reverence in a happy mode to happiness in a reverent mode. So it's really not that much difference one to the other. And there are points of comparison between Yom Kippur and the holiday of Sukkot, which is known also in English as the Feast of the Tabernacle. On Yom Kippur, we say a prayer, a confession prayer. And it starts for the sin that we did, and then fill in the blank, and there's 44 of them. So as it comes out, and we say for the sin that we committed, on the word we, so we take a clenched fist and we tap our chests by our heart. indicating that we're like sorry for it. During the holiday of Sukkos, or Sukkot, we hold the lulav and esrog, which the lulav and esrog are the four species of a citron, date, palm, myrtle, and willow branches. And we do the same thing. There's a certain, it's called shaking, but we just don't shake it. We draw it to us and we tap our heart with it so that it comes out, and we do it as such a prescription that throughout the 7 days of Sukkos, we are tapping our heart as an expression of celebration, exactly the number of times that we tap our heart during the confession prayer on Yom Kippur. And indeed, the Yom Kippur prayers focus around what the high priest did in the temple times and the incense that he would go into the Holy of Holies. And we say that that cloud of incense now is manifest as the roofing material, the schach, which is the mitzvah of the sukkah, on top of our sukkahs. So indeed, we are celebrating. And we're celebrating because the Almighty is taking care of us. And indeed, it says, this is for next week, it says what a person didn't cry. It says that if a person, it brought down in the Kabbalah, that if a person didn't cry on Yom Kippur, there is something deeply wrong with their soul. A person should feel a sense of distance because of their actions. It says, though, what a person didn't cry on Yom Kippur, they can make up by dancing on Simchas Torah, which is a day which is total celebration of the completion of the cycle of the reading of the Torah in the synagogue. But you see, it's very interesting, is what are we trying to do on Yom Kippur? Is we're trying to get back to status quo with the Almighty. It's like before we mucked things up. Sukkos gives us another venue to do it, because not everybody gets into the fasting and the crying stuff. It's a whole lot easier to get into the, okay, we got to do it outside, and who knows what the temperature is going to be this whole week, and if it's going to be raining, God forbid, or not. But we do it through food and drink and socializing and dancing. And maybe you could do that. That works really well, too. Speaking of working really well, we've got to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. We got the Hasidic story coming up. Awesome! Don't go away. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Why go anywhere else when you could go to One Stop Kosher? Located on Greenfield Road, just south of 696, you're never far from One Stop Kosher. At One Stop Kosher, you'll find the largest selection of kosher wines in Michigan. One Stop Kosher has the freshest produce, the best dairy, deli, and meats, their gourmet. They even have a kosher bakery right on the premise. It's One Stop Kosher on Greenfield Road in 696 for all your shopping needs.
Hi, this is Specs Howard from the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for the Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Hey, Herschel Finman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? Best way, rabbifinman.com. Right on the homepage, we have a contact link. You contact me, you tell me you have a question, a comment, a criticism, a piece of advice. It's all good. Contact me. I love it. I spend my Sunday afternoons going through my fan mail. Most people do write me right on Sunday, especially if there's something I didn't do right. Oh, I get it right away. People just like go right to the computer. Bam! And there it is. RabbiFinman.com. What else will you find? You'll find archived editions of the show. We now have a year's worth of shows posted to the site. We also have archived editions of the E-Parsha, U-Parsha, Hasidic Youth Story, and classes, which are ways in which we hope to present Judaism in an exciting and fun way. We also have the very important donations page. We are in smack dab in the middle of October, and we are smack dab in the middle of where we need to be as far as paying off for the month. technically speaking, we're supposed to pay for the month at the beginning of the month, like when you pay your rent, which is what we're doing. We're basically renting airspace from Salem Communications. But as it turns out, we always pay at the end of the month because, well, listen, you know, this is listener-supported radio and it's best. You know, we do have some commercial sponsors, but the vast majority of it comes from people like you. So go to RabbiFinman.com to go to the donations page. Make it a monthly donation. Also, even $5 a month is great. It makes it so much easier for everybody, so I don't have to appeal so much. If we got everybody would give a $5 donation a month, that would make it so that I wouldn't even have to bother doing this appeal, and I could just tell a longer story, which I really want to get to because I'm chomping at the bit to tell this story. Don't like internet giving? Understood. Drop your contribution of any amount into an envelope. Put a stamp in the upper right-hand corner of the front of the envelope and address it to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Back in Poland in the 1800s, it was not uncommon for a city, one of these villages, to have one or no esrog. They're very hard to find. These are citrons. They grow in Italy in warmer climates. You're talking Central Europe, and people didn't have, and they were expensive. It says that a person who makes his livelihood from selling these esrog, these citrons, is disqualified as being a witness in a Jewish court of law, because if he's going to sell a lemon for that amount of money, how could we trust what he says? This is absolutely true. So they're very hard to come by. So there was one Rebbe, whose name escapes me, this is, we're talking the 1880s, who lived in central Poland, and he gave some money to a certain one of his students and said, go find an esrog. It's even hard to find. They weren't importing these things like they do in America. So he's traveling around. He came across a certain wealthy man. And he told the wealthy man, this is how much the Rebbe would be willing to pay for the esrog. So the wealthy man said, I don't need the rabbi's money. However, my wife and I have been married for a while. I will sell it. I will give you the esrog on condition that the rabbi blesses me that we have a son this year. And if it is that we do not have a son this year, we will consider the esrog to be stolen. And a person who uses a stolen item to perform a mitzvah has not fulfilled the mitzvah, because you cannot fulfill the mitzvah on a stolen item. So the guy said, okay, on behalf of the rabbi. He took it to the village to where the rabbi lived and told the rabbi the condition. The rabbi put his hand on his chin, his elbow on desk, and thought for a while and said, he will have a son this year. The following year, the rich man provided an esrog unsolicited to the Rebbe, saying, we had a son. And every year thereafter, he would send a messenger with this prized possession in esrog to the rabbi. Finally, one year, young man walked in and he said, I am the son of so-and-so, this wealthy man. My father told me to present you with this esrog. So the rabbi smiled and he said, you are indeed the son of an esrog. So he said that in a positive way, not like, you son of an esrog. That's going to do it for the show today. We hope you have a great yontif tonight. Dance your toes off and be happy for the next week. Why not? We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope we had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a great sukkahs, a great week. We'll see you back again next Sunday. Take care. Yeah.